about him, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's gotta be. Yep. So tonight, I just want to share a short message. It's more of a teaching, actually, on hearing the voice of God. I read this book, well, Kendra and I both read this book, by Lauren Cunningham. He's the founder of Youth with a Mission. And it's titled, Is That Really You, God? And it's about his journey and his life and just how he followed the Lord's leading and everything that he did. And at the end of this book, he had 12 points to remember on hearing the voice of God. And that's what I want to share with you tonight. And don't worry about taking notes, because I have copies for everyone afterwards, whoever wants them. Unless the Lord speaks to you about something, then it's always good to write that down, right? So if you know the Lord, you've already heard his voice. You know, it's that inner leading that brought us to him in the first place. And Jesus, he always checked with his Father, and so should we. Hearing the voice of our Heavenly Father is the basic right for every child of God. It's a basic right for all of his children is to hear him. So the first point is, don't make his guidance complicated. Don't make it complicated. It's actually hard not to hear the voice of God if we really want to please him and if we really want to obey him. You know, if we stay humble, he has promised to guide us. In Proverbs 16:9, it says, the heart of a man plans his way, but the Lord establishes his steps. So there's three simple steps that help us to hear the voice of God. The first step is to submit to his lordship. So what do I mean by that? Well, before we pray, or at the beginning, we need to ask the Father to silence our own thoughts and the thoughts and opinions of others that tend to flood our minds. In 2 Corinthians 10:5, it says, we destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God, and take every thought captive to obey Christ. You know, and even though we've been given a good mind to use, his mind is so much greater, right? So in Proverbs 3:5-6, it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. He will make your paths straight. So the first step is submitting to his lordship. Secondly, we need to resist the enemy, just in case he's trying to deceive us. During this time, during this moment, he wouldn't do that, would he? And we have an authority that's been given to us by Jesus Christ, and we need to take a hold of that authority to silence the voice of the enemy. In James 4:7, it says, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. So submit to his lordship, resist the enemy, and then the third thing is expect an answer. You know, I think too many times we skip this last one. We don't really expect God to answer us right away. But God wants to. We need to expect our loving Heavenly Father to speak to us. He will. You know, John 10:27, it says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I've said this before, but our expectation is God's invitation to move powerfully in our lives. Our expectation is his invitation to move in our lives. And that goes right along with guidance, with hearing his voice. So submit to his lordship, resist the devil, and expect to hear God. So that's all under point number one. Number two is, allow God to speak to you in any way that he chooses. Don't try to dictate to him concerning the guidance methods that you prefer or I prefer. You know, I think I'm guilty of this. Sometimes I just ask him to show me the verse to speak to me. But what if he wants to speak to me a different way? We need to be open to however he wants to speak to us. You know, we are his children. And a child does not dictate to their parents how they should speak to them. I was thinking about this before church. If Cohen or Alex told me, "Don't talk to me that way," that probably wouldn't go so well. Right? Children need to be listening to however the Father wants to speak to us. You know, God speaks to us through many ways. One way is his word. And that's one of the common ways that he does speak to us. He could just speak to us through our daily reading, or maybe a verse just pops in your head. Holy Spirit is guiding you to that verse. You know, he could. Let's go back to that real quick. So Psalms 119, 105 says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." So he uses that way. Another way is through an audible voice. I haven't heard that yet, but I can't dictate, but that would be a good way, I think. You know, Moses in the burning bush is an example of that. Through dreams, you know, Mary and Joseph, God spoke to them through dreams and through others too. And he still does that today. Through visions. But the most common way that he speaks to us is through that inner, quiet voice. Quiet inner voice. Through the Holy Spirit. Where he just brings things to your attention. And that's probably the hardest one to hear, actually. Because you don't know if it's yourself or the Holy Spirit. But there is a way to test that. Be obedient to the word and see what happens. And you will learn to be able to discern what's just coming from you and what's coming from him. Isaiah 30:21 says, "And your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it." I think that is referring to the Holy Spirit speaking to us, guiding us in our lives. So we don't make it complicated. We allow God to speak as he chooses. Thirdly, we confess any unforgiven sin. A clean heart is necessary if we want to hear God. And we don't have to go begging to him. We're already forgiven. We just confess our sins. And he's faithful and just. In Psalm 66:18, says, "If I had cherished iniquity in my heart, the Lord would not have listened." So 4, use the axe head principle. You're probably wondering, what is that? The axe head principle. I didn't know what that was. It's a term coined from the story in 2 Kings 6. Remember? When the axe head floated? So if you have seemed to have lost your way, go back to the last time you knew the sharp, cutting-edge voice of God. Then obey. See, the key question here is, have you obeyed the last thing God told you to do? Have you obeyed the last thing God told you to do? 5, get your own leading. God will use others to confirm your guidance, but you should also hear from him directly. It can be dangerous to rely on others to get the word of the Lord for you. So I love it when I get prophetic words from others. But if I only lived off of those words, my life would be like just crazy. It wouldn't make sense, because people get those words and it goes through their filter before it gets to you. So God, through them, and how they think, and that's how they speak it out. So prophetic words, if they're correct and true, should line up with what God has been speaking to you. And if they don't, just write them down and kind of put them, don't throw them away, but just kind of put them to the side. Maybe they're for a later date. So if somebody gets a word from the Lord for you, I mean, hopefully it's confirmation on how and what the Lord has been speaking to you. We cannot just rely on others. 6. Don't talk about your guidance until God gives you permission to do so. You know, sometimes we just get so excited about what the Lord's put on our heart, how the Lord's speaking to us, that we just want to tell everybody. I know I do. But sometimes, you know, sometimes He gives us permission immediately to share. At other times, there might be a delay. The main purpose of waiting is to avoid 4 pitfalls. The first one is pride. The second one is presumption, by speaking before we have full understanding of what He's told us. The third thing is missing God's timing and method. And 4th pitfall is bringing confusion to others, for they too need to have a prepared heart. 7. Use the wise men principle. Just as the 3 wise men individually followed the star, and in doing so were all led to the same place, right? The birth of Christ. God will often use 2 or more spiritually sensitive people to confirm what He's telling you. And maybe they're not people, maybe they're just situations that He uses. I like to call them God signs. You've probably heard that. And what they're doing is they're just confirming that you're on the right path. So like, think about, you're going down a highway and you see, you know, some signs on the road. There's these towns coming up. That's kind of the same principle. You're going in the right direction. So He just throws this confirming sign to you. These signs are not required, but they are often used by God to confirm that we are going on down the right path. 8, beware of counterfeits. So have you ever heard of a counterfeit $20 bill? Right? Yeah. Have you ever heard of a counterfeit paper bag? A counterfeit paper bag? No. Because it has no value. What's the point of counterfeiting a bag? Right? The only reason that things are counterfeited is because they're worth something. Satan has a counterfeit for everything of God that's possible for him to copy. Some things, you know, Satan can't copy. So counterfeit guidance does come from obvious things that are of the enemy. You know, Ouija boards, seances, you know, fortune telling, things like that. But they also come from other things too. But the guidance of the Holy Spirit leads us closer to Jesus and to true freedom. Satan's guidance leads us away from God into bondage. One key test is for true guidance: does your leading follow principles of the Bible? The Holy Spirit will never contradict Himself. God will never contradict His Word. 9. Opposition of man is sometimes guidance from God. This is a hard one. Opposition of man is sometimes guidance from God. The important thing to remember here is yieldedness to the Lord. In Acts 4:18 through 21, it says, "So they called them and charged them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus." This was the disciples. But Peter and John answered them, "Whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you rather than to God, you must judge. For we cannot but speak of what God has seen and heard, of what we have seen and heard. Sorry. And when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding no way to punish them because of the people, for all were praising God for what had happened. Rebellion is never of God, but sometimes He will ask us to step away from others in a way that is not rebellion, but part of His plan. Trust that He will show your heart the difference. 10. Every follower of Jesus has a unique ministry. In 1 Peter 4:10, it says, "As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace." The more you seek to hear God's voice in detail, the more effective you will be in your own calling. Guidance is not a game. It's serious business where we learn what God wants us to do in ministry. And we are all in ministry. All of God's children are. The will of God is doing and saying the right thing in the right place, with the right people, at the right time and in the right sequence, under the right leadership, using the right method and the right attitude of heart. Got all that? So I can hear the right word of the Lord and be with the right people. But if I say it at the wrong time, then their hearts aren't ready to receive it. Or maybe I get the word of the Lord, but I'm with the wrong people. Their hearts aren't ready. Or maybe everything else is right except my heart, my attitude. The message will not be effective as it should be. Two more. 11. Practice hearing God's voice, and it becomes easier. It really does. I can testify to this. You know, it's like picking up the phone and recognizing the voice of your best friend. Now, you know their voice because you've spent time talking with them over and over again. You know, we learn to hear this through obedience and time. As we obey what we think the Lord is telling us, because a lot of times we don't know 100%, but as we are obedient with the maybes, we learn that we are hearing His voice, and we learn to better recognize when He's speaking to us. The last thing is relationship is the most important reason for hearing the voice of the Lord. That's what it's all about. God is not only infinite, but He's personal. He's not only infinite, but He's personal. He wants an individual relationship with each one of us. And it's hard to have a relationship if you don't communicate. True guidance is getting closer to the guide. Right? We grow to know the Lord better as He speaks to us and as we listen to Him and obey. You know, we make His heart glad. He's excited when we talk to Him and when we listen. Because I believe He has a lot to say to each one of us. And we need to choose to listen. So back to the first thing. We need to submit to His Lordship by silencing our own thoughts, resist the enemy, and expect an answer. I think I made plenty of copies. So whoever would like a copy of this tonight, just let me know and you can have one. All right, let's pray. Father, we just thank You that You are such a good Father and that You want an individual relationship with each one of us. you don't only want us to talk to you, but you want to talk to us too. So, Father, we just thank you for relationship. And, Father, I just ask that you would just pour out your Spirit upon everyone here so that we could just know you better, Lord. So that we could know your heart. That we could know your thoughts. That we could know your guidance in every area of our lives. So, Father, we praise you that you are a good, good Father. In Jesus' name, amen.